Reading from Exodus chapter 3, all of it. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel, and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you, and I have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and your daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians.
The second reading is from the final chapter of Luke, Luke 24, verses 36 to 49. Now this comes just after when Jesus revealed himself to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. So Luke 24, verses 36 to 49. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your written word, and we pray this morning that through your Holy Spirit, that word will teach us and strengthen us in our hearts and in our minds. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When Tom contacted me earlier in the year and asked me to consider preaching this morning, I said yes, and was delighted, because he said, "Then you may choose the passage that you wish to speak on." And it was very easy for me to choose this passage, because in my private Bible study reading, and I use the Scripture Union method, there I was in this area of the Bible. I had heard of this story so many times, from the time I was that high, through Sunday school, Scripture at school, etc. And as I approached it, I was finding myself changed, because there was something else there that I really wanted to try to understand. And then, while I was doing that, I was reading my CMS Checkpoint magazine, and I wondered, why would a young couple in Sydney — the man had been working for 31 years as an accountant in Sydney, and his wife had a background as a science teacher — why would they get up out of Sydney and end up in Darwin at Noongalinya College training Aboriginal people? Why would you go? And I read on, and here were echoes of Moses. And then I was reading this magazine, More College Magazine, More Matters, and I started reading through and found a couple that had again moved. Why? Why would a young fellow who had been to high school in Katherine, Northern Territory, end up at Moore College doing a Bachelor of Divinity? What moved him to do that? And then, as time moved on, I picked up this magazine from the front desk and turned to the page of all these ordinands who'd just been ordained at the cathedral, and amongst them up here is our James Vigar, all decked out in their glory gear. And it made me wonder, how did each one of these people go from being whatever they were to get to there? In the olden days, people probably used the word a calling, and I've used that word this morning. I was also, at this time, hearing HSC students, Christian and non-Christian, at the end of their studies, trying to work out what they were going to do in 2021. And of course they had all sorts of possibilities. And I was wondering, because we were praying for them, weren't we? How would they know what to do as Christians into the new year? So all of these things came together. And here was I pondering about Moses. Why did he change? This fellow was 80 years old. He's out in the back of the desert. He'd fled from Egypt after killing someone. And for 40 years he's been looking after his father-in-law's sheep. So out he goes on another ordinary day with all the sheep. A very ordinary day, and he sees a bush burning. Well, that's very ordinary. Something not so ordinary, because the bush didn't burn up. So he did what you'd normally do. He walked over and had a look. He was startled because he heard someone call out his name unexpectedly. And you and I have probably had that experience when your name is called out. In my case, it was often, Mr. Cooper! But this was new, because it was the voice of God. And it was terrifying, because he knew he was in God's presence. So an ordinary man, having an ordinary day, within a short while, is terrified. And when he found himself in God's presence, and he was on holy ground, he removed his sandals, because that's what you do in sign of respect and humility. This was strange. Some of you will have had high school kids who come home at the end of a tiring day. The parent says, "Oh yes, dear, how was school today?" "Nothing much." "Good." Moses had started out on a very ordinary day, but he was called by his name. That would not have been strange in one sense to Moses, because he had grown up knowing his, what we would call, Old Testament. In Genesis 22, Abraham is called by his name. And God says to him, "Go to Moriah and sacrifice your son." Jacob in Genesis 46 is called by God by his name. "Go down to Egypt and meet up with your son Joseph." Now, each of those people did what Moses did. Abraham said, "Here I am." Jacob said, "Here I am." And Moses said, "Here I am." To be called by your name, by God, would be a very frightening experience. In the New Testament, Saul heading off down to persecute people, a bright light, and a voice says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Peter's having a dream up on top of a building, and a voice says, "Peter, get up, kill an unclean animal and eat it." Now, for each of these people, God's speaking to him is going to change their life. But who was calling Moses? We've seen that up there this morning. Who was this? The voice said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses would have known that. So God speaks to Moses, the individual. There is good news. Oh, good. "I'm coming down to rescue the people from Egypt and bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey." Well, that is good news, isn't it? But two verses later, here's the bad news. "So you go. Now, I am sending you." Where to? Go to Pharaoh. Each of those three people said, "Here I am." But what was Moses' response after that? The first thing he says, I'm sure, was, "Why me? Who am I to go and do it? Why me?" Next year, when Tom invites you to become the rector's warden of choice at next year's AGM, what will be your response? "Here I am, Tom." Or will it be, "Tom, why me?" Moses had pretty good reason to start questioning. "I am settled. 40 years I've been out here tending my father-in-law's sheep. I am a settled man with my family. If I go back to Egypt, if I take on this new job, I will have to face my past. In modern parlance, it would be, if I go to take up that job, someone will dig up some gossip or find an old photo of me, and I will have to face those consequences. If I go back to Egypt, I will have to confront a hard-hearted Pharaoh. I'll have to uproot my family. I can't move. And no, Tom, I can't take on that job because I am inadequate in my own strength." And the fact is, whatever the job, that will always be true. Moses keeps going. What will I say to the Israelites when they say, "Who sent you?" I'm not good at public speaking. And when, if you read into chapter 4, he lists a whole lot of other objections. God gives him an answer to the first one. "Who sent you?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Say, I am has sent me to you." I didn't know we were going to be singing that hymn this morning. And it was a joy for me to quietly sing, "The Great I Am." There it was. We all would have said that in our heads, and that's who was sending Moses. The God of Abraham, tell them, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he has sent me to you. There are other objections. Remember that he fell down in humility at the burning bush. He was in the presence of God. But he keeps on arguing. He doesn't give up. And God doesn't give up on him either. Because he says, "Aaron, your older brother, will speak the words that I give you." But what if they don't believe me? So God says, throw down that staff that you've got in your hand. It became a snake. Well, take it by the tail, and it turned back into a staff. Put your hand inside your cloak. Ah, it has become leprous. Take it out. It's been restored. So here we have assurance and then obedience. You see, nothing in Moses' life had been wasted. Nothing in our experience as we've followed God is ever wasted. Moses was born a Hebrew, a baby saved, when Hebrew baby boys weren't saved. He'd been educated in Pharaoh's court. He was in high society for 40 years. He knew how to deal with all sorts of difficult people. And he had been living in the desert for 40 years. He didn't know what the next 40 years in the desert was going to be like, but he'd had the training. I'm sure each of you here could tell stories just like that, how God has taken something from the past. I tell you one of my experiences. Early in my teaching career, I had a very specific invitation to move to a new role in a different school. And the first question I asked the inspector was, why me? I'm not good enough. I can remember saying that. It would mean changing my circumstances a bit. And he said, look, Ian, go away and think about it. So I did. I didn't just think, I prayed. And he came back a week later. And I realised I had actually been prepared for that role 5 years earlier. And it was a right move. And I was enabled to do the task and enabled in every way. Take Peter, confident, brash, leadership of the group, the one who spoke up, the one who became on the Mount of Transfiguration. Take Paul, highly educated, energetic persecutor, confident, as he goes to persecute the Christians. What has he become? Highly educated in the scriptures. Energetic soldier for Christ. But I always remember with Paul that even though he was all those things, one of his mottos was, not I, but Christ. And I think it would be good for you to ponder this week on your life experiences that God has already used that he might use in the future. And so Moses went. And what a difference obedience in faith made for him and for us. So first of all, he went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said, you're going to need a new shepherd. And his father-in-law said, I wish you well. At the bush, he hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. But in the wilderness, he spent 40 days on Mount Sinai in fellowship with God. So powerful was that new experience that he needed a veil to cover his face. In Exodus 33, we read that Moses had been face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Why me? In Matthew 17, just then, on the Mount of Transfiguration, there appeared before Peter, James and John, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. Moses talking to Jesus. Well, God speaks today. Hand up if you've been spoken to through a burning bush lately. No. But he does speak today, doesn't he? And his words come to us. They may come when you're alone. Daily. I use the Scripture Union system because it's a good discipline. Weekly, God speaks to us through the words on the screen and through sermons. I find that the memory of verses that I was taught as a child, passages of scripture that you've known by heart. Yes, that's right. Hymns that are based on scripture. And I guess that's why I have just always loved, over the decades, psalm praise. God is our strength and refuge, etc. That is scripture in song. But there is a danger, and some of these we need to be careful of, because sin breaks our communication, and we can hear what we want to hear. Or we can be selfish, and instead of listening to God, the whole of God's word, we really just read when it is convenient. We can become disobedient. Clear words of scripture we can ignore, or we rationalise them away, oh well, probably in those days. Or we can twist them to meet the latest social trend, whatever it is out there. we can look for a different version of Scripture which has a softer approach. None of this hard Old Testament God. We want a softer version. And we can become impatient. I've read it, I want that promise, and I want it now. What did Jesus say to his disciples? And you heard it read this morning. You are witnesses, he said, of all the things that they had seen over those years. Yes, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And they obeyed. They stayed. And in Acts, we read when he has reappeared after the ascension, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that, of course, is true. That's why we're here today. They obeyed. So what about you and me in 2021? And I have been reminded for many decades now of going to summer school, a phrase that is used: the need is not the call. Because you have seen starving children in Africa, it's not necessarily a call for you to go. But the call will be to cause you to pray and support. The Webbs were here last week. How did they get from working in this parish so long ago to do what they're doing now? Well, we've sent them. We've prayed for them. We've supported them. The SRE teachers, you've been called to be a Bible reader. Well, I thought I had all my notes finished and typed up the other day, and then on Friday afternoon I get the bulletin. Thank you, Tom. Because one of the things that I read, and you've heard it this morning, we are in year 12 at the Genelli High School. We have been running the Jesus and Me program on Fridays at lunchtime. How did those young ladies from here get called to lead this group? I don't know. I don't know these people. But you probably do. Why don't you ask them? Why did you take on that job? And then on the second page, this question. Tom, you can look at everyone here. Could you be a welcomer? We are in need of more welcomers to serve at the 8:45 and 10 a.m. service. If you would like more information about the role, please contact the office or see Tom, and don't say, "Why me?" The other challenge I would offer you is for you to tell others of your stories of how the Lord has blessed you as older people, seniors, in your past to help you where you are now. Moses said, "Here I am," and God said, "Go." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that our hearts and our minds will turn to you and in honesty say, here I am, send me. And we pray that through the Holy Spirit we will be strengthened and we will be obedient. Amen.